Turn to Esther. Chapter 1 deals with the depravity of man, the thought processes of man, the ability that we have inside of us to be depraved, and we are very good at it, amen? I surely hate to say that, but it's very true. We are very good at being that way. And then the second chapter deals with Esther serving despite circumstances that surrounded her. We talked about certainly it wasn't the perfect situation, certainly it wasn't what she wanted, but she stood for God anyhow. And I've got to be honest with you, that's one thing that if I could get across to Christians under the sound of my voice, it's not always going to be great serving God. It's just not. And for somebody to say, well, I'm going to serve God in the good times. If the bad times come, then I'll pack it in. We've got enough of that. We got that all over the country today where people are going to pack it in when the times get rough. And they will get rough. They are coming. If you don't have bad times now, the bad times are coming. It's your ability to stay faithful to the things of God. That's why I talk so much about faithfulness over dynamics. I don't care how dynamic you are. I want somebody that's willing to serve in spite of bad times and because of those bad times, showing folks that you can still serve God even through the bad times. That's what's key in the Christian world today, that as soon as things fall apart, we tuck tail and run back to the world. But that's not what God wants us to do. God is able to let us serve even through these bad times. He's able to let us serve even through the trials. And a lot of times, God gives us the trials just so we can become stronger in Him. So you must understand that this chapter spoke basically about Esther and some of the background of her life. And she could have easily said, well, I'm just going to become one of these ladies and try to gain the king's favor and just do whatever the king says. But that's not what Esther did, and thankfully so, because she saved many of the people of her nation. Glory to God. See, it's easy to say that he's a good Christian during the good times. It's much more difficult to say he was a good Christian through the bad. And I'm going to tell you, you'll have more respect for a person that says that they were a good Christian through the bad. You'll have more respect. You'll have more respect for somebody that has gone through the bad times, came out on the other side, and still served God. You'll have more respect for them, and you ought to, because it's easy to serve God when things are going great. Much more difficult to have that same faith when things are not going so great. Amen? Now we deal with the third chapter. And the third chapter is puts your faith even more to a test, because this happens all the time. You see it more and more. And this is one of the things that just, it tries me out. I'll tell you, it really does. We're going to talk about chapter 3 today and the ascension of an evildoer. It's amazing to me today as you watch all across America, we can't figure out why the evildoers get put up on top. I mean, isn't there anything more aggravating in the whole wide world than watching somebody you know is not doing right, yet they get put up in the lights and in the papers and everything else? I always look at people like Joel Osteen, and I know I make fun of him quite often, but it's amazing to me how that man can have 85,000 people come to watch his church services, one of the most boring things I've ever seen in my entire life, but people can't wait to pack out that house. A person that's not doing right is held up so very high. It becomes aggravating because you know people in your life that are not doing right. You know people in your life that are not doing the things that God would have them to do, yet they still seem to have success. Isn't that the craziest thing ever? And you know, I know that you do this because I do the very same thing. God, why don't you take care of this? Yeah, I listen to you. Yeah, you're right. That's exactly where I live. But I've got to be honest with you. That's not what God wants from us. It's not what God wants for us to want to exact revenge or vengeance on anybody. The Bible says that the Lord is the owner of vengeance. We shouldn't have any. We should not delight in people getting chastised from the Lord. We should not delight in that because it could come back on us. Boy, being a Christian's hard, isn't it? This is one of the things I'm just going to be honest up front with you. This is one of the things that bothers me so very, very deeply. It bothers me because I know good people that work very hard to do the right things for God, yet their life becomes so very difficult, so hard. Their journey is so arduous. And I watch them, and I watch them go through things, and yet I see somebody over here that does not serve God or serves God in a way that is not pleasing to God, and they go through roses all the time. You know what's amazing? The person going through the hard times invariably will have God walking with him. Please hold on to this. Don't think for a minute that God ever left you during your hard time. See, God walks with you during that time and is closer to you. If you'll be honest, God gets closer to you in the hard times than he does in the good, because you get closer to him. Draw nigh unto him, he'll draw nigh unto you. You draw nigh unto him because you've just about had it. And it's sad that that's true. I mean, come on, let's talk about where we live today. When things are going well, your prayer life stinks. Come on, can we be honest this morning? Am I talking to people that don't live on the same planet that I do? When you're going well, the money's coming in. The bills are paid. The heat is on. Nothing under the sink is leaking. Your appliances are just fine, maybe even brand new. Hot water tank pumping out hot water. Glory to God. Your prayer life stinks. But it's about true. I mean, oh, maybe the Pharisees in this room pray every day. Maybe. But I got to be honest with you, it's difficult to have a good prayer life because you don't think about it. God's taking care of me. He doesn't need to hear from me. He's taking care of me. But then the bad times come. And we do everything. Now, hold on. I'll get to this chapter in a second. We do everything when the bad times come. We do everything that we can do long before we ask anything of what he can do. That's the truth, right? I mean, just being honest. You will do everything you can in your power to get the water out of that boat. You'll even capsize. And then you'll start saying, oh, Lord. But it's amazing how we live our lives as melancholy Christians the vast majority of the time when we're on the mountaintop. We don't look at the Lord. But when we're in the valley, we can't wait. Okay, God. All right. I haven't been to the altar in a decade. But things are finally going so bad, I don't know what to do. I'm going to go ahead and get right here. See, I believe personally that we should have a semblance of a prayer life and a semblance of a relationship with God no matter what's going on in our life. Now, your prayer vocabulary may change. It may go from, oh God, I need you, to oh God, thank you. But it's still having conversation with the Lord nonetheless. We as Christians, and I'll get to this in a second, but this is just basic stuff. We as Christians, as long as the walk is not that difficult, very seldom do we have to have a relationship with the Lord. Is that correct? It's correct in our lives, but it's not correct with God. God wants us to have that relationship with him regardless of our situation. If you want to see yourself go downward, then come to the realization that you're not talking to the Lord that much. I've lived through this lots of times, by the way. I'm not telling you something because I'm such a prayer warrior. I'm telling you these things because I must be honest. There's times that I need to talk to God and I don't. Even in the good times. Even in the times when everything seems to be taken care of, all the directions going correctly, and I just for some reason, just God doesn't come to my mind because everything's great. And then when I finally get down to the valley, I do everything I can to climb up out of that valley before I say, God, I need your help. I wonder if we had a relationship with God, if we would be willing to speak to him. I'll give you an illustration. If you know a very wealthy person, please give me their address. If you know a very wealthy person, seriously, if you know a very wealthy person, that very wealthy person was so generous that anytime you needed anything, you could come to them and they would give it to you. Seriously, think about this now. what kind of relationship would you have with that person? Ho-ho! You'd walk arm in arm through the daisies if you could. Right? Why? Not because you love them, because of what they have for you. Stay with me for a minute here. That is monetary. Brother Rod, let me ask you a question. Debbie's going through some hard times. Hope she gets help from Miss Cindy. I really do. I believe she will. But let me ask you a question. What amount of money would help you right now? If Debbie can't get better, just for her health-wise, I know money's good. But understand this. What if she can't get better with money, what good does that do? You see, it's amazing to me that we would be best friends with the guy that could give us money, but we are not that good of friends with God who can give us everything. If you knew a wealthy person, you would live in their house if they'd allow it, just so you could have a conversation with them every day. And they would, could you imagine, Phil, a guy coming up to you and say, hey, Phil, what do you need today? Need 20 bucks, 100 bucks? Yeah. God does that for us every day. Matter of fact, the Spirit utters prayers and requests of God in a language that we don't even understand long before we need it, because He knows what we need. What a good God we have. Yet we have a very difficult time having a relationship with God because many things get in the way. Evildoers are one of them. You can't imagine. You can't imagine. This is the one that gets me all the time. Please take this for what it's worth. I'm fleshly sometimes. I'm glad you're not. I love the fact when a person comes to me and says, why should I tithe? Look at all the things that God's done for me. By the way, it happens. I make a point to not know anything about the tithing records. I have no idea who gives what. I really don't. I couldn't care less. I don't want to know. I don't want to know anything about that. But it's amazing to me that somebody's brazen enough to come to me and say, why should I tithe? Look at what God's done for me. Is that the biggest oxymoron? As a matter of fact, that's an oxy wrapped in a moron, is what that is. And I'm amazed that the blessings of God shower down on a person that's willing to steal. Help me. Well, see, the amens went away now. It stopped. Well, it was good when I was with the rich guy. Where's the rich guy again? Bring him back. It's amazing to me that I will make a point. Listen, in my house, we tithe and some. You can say what you want, I don't care. I like to tithe. I like to know that my God has got His money. I like to know that. What's amazing to me is that I see people, rich folk, that will not tithe because they can't afford it. I'm amazed to watch the evildoers. You ain't going to like this. If you don't tithe, you're an evildoer. What? I knew I shouldn't have come. Will a man rob God? Now, wouldn't you say a God robber is evil? If you don't tithe, you're a God robber. That's what the Bible calls you, not me. I just called you that, but don't meet me out in the parking lot. Take a Bible up to the altar and read it. And you get mad at me and say, well, that's just Old Testament stuff. No, I've done this. I've hashed this row a lot. Let's go to Acts. Bring me the keys to your house and car. Because in Acts, they sold everything and gave it to the church. And they gave it to the church. They gave it to the church. Why? So the preachers could be fat, sassy, and have everything they want? Yeah, that works out real well. Come walk with us. I've got news for you. Your preachers are some of your biggest givers. Why? Because God means something to us, and we don't want to be an evildoer. And I'm going to tell you, I just want your life to be better. And I'm not going to sit here and not tell you what God wants out of our lives. Don't be an evildoer and try to ascend. Don't be an evildoer. Haman gets promoted here as an evildoer. He's promoted and thinks so much of himself. God loves me so much, I don't have to tithe. You lie, and you're an evildoer. God loves me so much. Look at how He's taking care of me financially. You dirty, rotten dog. If He breaks your legs, what are you going to do? Come on now. I get aggravated because I watch people that I care about. My church people, I watch them, the people, I don't care about your money. You think, well, preacher's only after money. I'm not after your money. I don't care anything about your money. I care about your spiritual life with God, your walk with Him. And if you think that you're not tithing and you're still a good Christian, you're lying to yourself. And I watch you get your great stuff, and I watch you get your grand homes, and I watch you get all the stuff that Christians may not get. Boy, that aggravates me. I'm sorry, that's fleshly. I'm admitting to you, that's fleshly. But nothing gets under my craw more than a person that gets blessed by God and doesn't thank Him for it. The person gets blessed by God and won't give God his. By the way, that 10% ain't yours. By the way, it's only 10, but that's not all he asks for. I would to God you'd get, boy, I tell you, I didn't even have any of this planned. But I'm going to tell you right now, I would to God you'd give 10% of everything to Him. Amen. Not just your money. Amen. Yep. What's your money? Come on now, money. You could light the money in my hand to burn up. It's just paper. Where's your heart for the things of God? Where's your heart? Where's your heart when this plate gets passed around? Where's your heart? If your heart says, just keep passing the plate, I don't want to put anything in it, then your heart is not right with God. I know that doesn't preach real well. I know not many people like that. But I've got to be honest with you. If I don't tell you what this Bible says about giving of what God gives you, your first fruits, don't haggle with me over, well, should it be gross or net? What gets you out of giving some? Is that what it is? Can you save 10 bucks if you give off of your net and not gross? Can you save 10 bucks because Guido's is calling? By the way, $10 won't get you anything from Guido's anymore. I got to be honest with you. You know what? It's amazing to me to watch folks ignore God. It takes an ignoring of everything that God's done for you. If you know the Lord is your Savior, don't you think He's given you eternity? Why would I want to watch an evildoer ascend? And by the way, I don't know why God doesn't just squash more people. But let me help you. This kind of helped me. Yeah, God could squash them. He really could. And if you're not tithing, you better start, because now you know the truth. Not that you didn't know the truth before. What could God squash me for? See, when you start thinking about, even this is what helped me, and as we get into this chapter, you'll see a little bit of this. You got to be very careful. Because I watched evildoers get raised to crazy heights. I mean, look at your professional sports today. You think those guys care about God? Come on now. Come on now. They play in a game that has them play every Sunday. Churches all across America tonight are going to cancel because of a stupid bowl. Many of you won't be here tonight because of the Super Bowl. Shame on us. We're having church. I'm preaching. I may take it all the way to the Super Bowl's end. You mess with me. The Pittsburgh ain't playing. Why do I want to watch? If Steelers were playing, we may cancel church, but the Steelers ain't playing. So, anyhow, let me help you. Evildoers, and you can point at them. I'll just use him. And by the way, this is totally off base. You're horrible, you're a bad person, you're this. It's easy to point that out. Why? Because he's 7 foot tall. It's easy to point out things that are bad. And it's easy for us to do that as Christians. But you got to be careful what your motive is. This is what happens. You point out somebody bad, Jordan. You point them out because you want to make you feel better. Because I got to be honest with you. How many in this room has something, has nothing in their life that they're doing that God could squash them for? Not one person. I'm giving tithe. All these things have I kept from my youth up. I'm good. And it's easy for us to see the evil that's in this world. But you must understand there's none that doeth good. No, not one. All of us are sinners. In our flesh dwelleth no good thing. So be honest. If you pointed at someone over something that's going on in their life, they could easily point at you and pick out something that you're doing in yours. You may be doing right and everything else, but you're doing wrong here. So I got to be honest with you. Nobody, moral of the story, nobody should ascend. The only thing, in my opinion, that we ought to hold up is faithfulness to God. Not even the person that did it. Faithfulness to God. That's not an easy pill to swallow. But I got to be honest with you, as I start to read these verses, start to read these chapters, it's so easy to let your flesh run away with you. I see people day after day after day doing the wrong thing and getting rewarded for it. I see day after day after day things passing through our government and all these things that are going bad. And it's easy to say, that's not right. But Christian, in our lives, we've got holes. We need to work on filling them. Filling the holes in our life. I'm loaded with them and I know it. Tithing's not one of them, but I have more. Giving's not one of them, but I have more. I have more issues. I guarantee you my prayer life pales in comparison to some of yours. I know it does. So I guess I could call myself in that aspect an evildoer. Amen? It's just a thought, just a foundation. Let's look at this chapter 3. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. That should aggravate the daylights out of most people. He's not a good person. He ascended by means that he ought not ascend. But there I am, Christian, realizing. And I'm easy to use as an example. I stand before you today preaching the word of God, a sinner. Should therefore I be here? I can point at Haman. I can point. He ought not be a sinner. He ought not. But then should I look at myself and say, should I? That's a tough pill to swallow, isn't it? And as we look at this, the Bible says in verse 2, and all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman. By the way, I hate the word reverend. I hate, double dog, hate the word reverend. If a person has to call himself reverend, he's pathetic. And I know someone that does that. Well, tell them they're pathetic. Tell them I told you so. I don't want to be revered of men. God is the one that should be revered of men. Men should not be revered. Come on now. For the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai, I love this. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Because he's supposed to bow to God, not to man. Now it came to pass when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand. For he had told them that he was a Jew. He was not afraid. How many people have you told you were a Christian? I'm not going to listen to your rock music. Why? I'm a Christian. I'm not going to do these things. Why? Because I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, and they knew it. He was a Jew, and they knew it. And he's not going to bow to man because God told him not to. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. Here's the problem. The man that was put in authority has the ability to have that man put to death. Now he's standing not only for God, but he's standing for his life. The wicked being put up in rule, the wicked being put up in place where they ought not be put, that wicked person has the opportunity to take Mordecai out, yet Mordecai still, and by the way, you see this all throughout the scriptures, somebody having faith in God, even in the face of death. And that's not a joke. I don't believe I'm overstating that. I believe that Mordecai, if him not doing what he was supposed to do by the king's command, him not doing that is treason against the king and should be put to death. Is that not? I believe that's true. And he thought scorn. to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews. Always picking on the Jews. And by the way, it never works out. That were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. Now he's facing destruction of his people. That's a tough thought. I don't know how I'd be in that instance. I really don't. I hope and pray that I have the faith enough and the strength enough that if I ever had to face that, that I could still stand for the Lord. I've got to be honest with you. I hope and pray that I never face that day, but if I do, I hope and pray that I have the ability to stand for God. Shoot, some of us won't stand for God in the midst of a dirty joke. Some of us won't stand for God in the midst of a dirty TV show. Some of us won't stand for God in the midst of bad music. We'll go ahead. I challenged the teenagers this last week. You may not like this, but I don't care. This is how I run the school. I don't want worldliness in the school. Amen. I don't want it. I don't want it, and it's a battle. Let me tell you, it's a battle. Why? Because I've got kids that come, and their parents don't care. And I, by the way, I'm going to tell your kid to do right whether you like it or not, just to let you know that. This is the school. This is how we run things. If you don't like it, come meet with me. I have it all the time. But understand this, I told the kids, if they're sitting at the lunch table and they're telling dirty jokes to worldly things they're not be talking about, I want you to stand up and walk away. I want you to get up and I want you to sit at another table. I want you to make a statement that that's not right. Amen. You ought not speak that way. Well, they're just kids. Kids can do a whole lot more than you think they can. And I'm going to tell you, the person that's telling the dirty jokes and doing the dirty thing ought to be sitting alone. He ought to be sitting by himself or herself. The whole world ought to be sitting over with the principal because I sit away from all the kids. I'm not their friends. I'm not. I don't sit with the kids specifically because I'm not their friend. I'm their principal and their pastor. I don't need to sit with them as their friend. I'm not. They don't need a friend. They need a man that wants to guide them. It's been a little bit of a problem this year with kids telling dirty things and doing the wrong things. And I challenge the teenagers, would there be one? Would there be one teenager that would care enough to get up and walk away in this whole land? How many stood? Let me ask you, how many stood for right? Mordecai. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to sit here and listen to this filth. I'm not going to sit here and talk about the dirty, rotten movies that we're allowed to watch. I don't even know why in the world a Christian would put even a PG-13 movie in anymore. It's craziness. Right, and yet the kids come and talk about these hell movies that they watch. Oh, the bleeding, dirty clown. They cut his head off with a sword and they did all these things and nastiness and it had 75,000 cuss words. But we stopped counting after 75,000. You know, it's amazing to me that I hear that kind of stuff. And I'm telling the teenagers, you know what? It's got to stop somewhere. It's got to stop somewhere. Why can't I have a teenager say, I'm not doing it? I'll tell you why. Because I don't have adults that'll do it. Here's Mordecai. He's facing death. We're not even going to face being made fun of. If I stood up in the midst of this people and says, you know what? I'm not going to do it anymore. You're not even going to make fun of me walking away. You're going to feel bad. And by the way, so would everyone else. I appreciate how the amens have stopped, but can we put it where it's at? It started out pointing fingers at evildoers. Now we're pointing fingers at us. It's not so fun then. But my problem, well, Brother Dave, you're just not willing to have fun. Let me tell you something. I have more fun being a Christian than you probably had fun in your whole entire life. I have more fun doing great things and having a good time and enjoying being alive. It's amazing to me how we get so down in the dumps and so upset. Well, look at what we're doing. Be willing at your workplace. You don't have to be a Bible thumper. I understand you're subjecting yourself to them. But here's Mordecai in that land. I'm not going to bow to you. I'm not. Well, I'm going to put you and all your people to death, but I'm not going to bow. Can you hear the conversation? You can do that. I'm not going to bow. I'm not. Adults, where are we at? Haman demands respect. A lot of preachers in the past have demanded respect. If you don't like me, get out. That's not the way to get respect. At least I wasn't raised that way. Respect is something that happens over time. Respect and trust, that happens over time. It's an earned commodity. And that's something that's lost on us. That's something that's lost in the churches today. I read a wonderful blog, and I'm going to digress for a moment here. Dr. Gray wrote a blog, and it's important. And I never thought about it this way, but it is very important. Preachers, for better or for worse, very seldom have close friends. It's just the way it works. And by the way, this is not for sympathy's sake that, you know, very seldom this happens, only because sinners are... Our preachers are sinners. We are. But Dr. Gray's thought was, we ought not get so close to the man of God that he starts losing his status as your man of God. Now, let me help you out a little bit. This man is a sinner. He is. And I've never told you I wasn't a sinner, that's for sure. He's a sinner. Thankfully, God has given me the ability to look at him as not only my dad, but as the man of God. You can't find a time when I've never held him up as the man of God here. Never, ever, ever. Say what you want. I've never held him anything less than what he is. But at the very same time, he's still a sinner. I don't want to get so close to him where his sin starts to cloud who he is. Boy, that doesn't make any sense, does it? But I'm going to tell you, I don't want to look at my man of God as anything less than my man of God, even though he's a sinner. Even though he has issues, I still want to, I don't want to reverence him. But I want him to know that he is my pastor. And that's a very important position. A God-ordained position is very important to your life. And it's difficult to live a life understanding that he's a sinner, but he's still God's man. Those are two sets of shoes that the man of God has to fill. The reason that is so, and let me tell you, I don't think preachers ought to just go around sinning, okay? Please don't misread what I'm trying to tell you. But understand this, at the very same time, we will sin. But you still need to look at your man of God as your man of God. And that's difficult. But what you must understand, and this probably won't go over very well either. The reason he's there, I take this back. The reason you're not there is because this is God's man, not you. And if God has chosen him, called him, that's why calling is so very important for a pastor. If you're not called, get out, because I'm going to tell you, it's not working for you. The calling is absolutely necessary. He's a called man of God, sinner, but he still needs to be, and you're not him. And you don't want that chair. See, as we go through this life, and I know I kind of came off of that a little bit, but I got to be honest with you. When you're close to a man of God and you're close to a preacher, I challenge you not to get too close. So close where you start to lose respect for the office. So close that you lose respect for the man. So close that you lose respect and lose sight of what he is in your life. By the way, he is somebody that God has called, and if God has put him there, I think God knows what he's doing. Anyhow, he gets my respect not because he demands it. He gets my respect because God put him there, and that gives me respect for him. Because God has done it. You get close enough to a sinner, you're going to lose respect for him. And I'm not telling you to make a fairy tale land about your pastor. I'm not. I'm telling you that God has put him in your life. Amen? As we look at this, Haman demands his respect. Mordecai would not bow. He makes a plan to kill them all. And in verse 8, Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. By the way, our laws ought to be diverse from all people. We ought to be different. I'm not voting in marijuana. I'm not voting in marijuana. Listen, well, we've got everything else. Why not have marijuana? I told you this story before. In Argentina, that man that runs the country down there is being looked at as an absolute pioneer of how to handle drugs. Pioneer. What they've done in Argentina is have legalized everything. This is the statement they made. This is on national TV. They legalize everything. Heroin, crack, whatever you got it. Praise the Lord. It's nuts down there. He says this statement on the TV. This is what captured my mind of the insanity of the world. Brother Bill, he says, never in the history of our country have drug arrests been lower. You know what? You do away with all the speed limit signs. I promise you, you'll write out less tickets for speeding. And we, on the documentary, what a fantastic thought. Less and less people are using illegal drugs. Because there aren't any illegal drugs. Here we are in America getting a talking to this man, interviewing him, holding him up as a pioneer. Can you imagine America legalizing everything? I mean, we are fighting against a pot plant. And what's amazing is, a lot of people will say, well, it's God's creation. God made the pot plant. When God made the pot plant, I'm sure that He did not have you crushing it, drying it, rolling it, and smoking it. Why don't you smoke lilies? Why don't you smoke roses? Let's make rose smoking legal. That's a good one. Let's start smoking poison ivy. See, it's amazing to me, and we look at the frivolity of America and we think of this, but it's true, it's so stupid. We all across America can't wait to say, oh, the kids are going to do it anyhow. You know what? That makes me want to throw up. Yeah. Our kids are going to get a hold of pot anyhow. Yeah, they might. And they very well might. But I'm going to tell you, not for 1 minute am I going to allow my children to think that I think it's okay. I'm not going to allow the people around me to think that it's okay. We're never going to marry a queer in this church. You can legalize it all you want to. It's illegal here. Our laws are different than their laws. God's law is different than their laws. God took a whole chapter in Romans to talk all about how bad it is. Don't you tell me. He took the time to send two to warn the whole city of Sodom and Gomorrah, yet they still didn't come out. No, we'll stay in our sin, thank you. And they were destroyed because of that sin. I'm not going to say, let's have man and man be up here. Who giveth this man to this man? And as crazy as that sounds, our laws aren't their laws. Now, this is where it's at. God's law supersedes man's law. You say amen. Times are coming where that's going to be put to the test. God's law supersedes man's law. And there's going to be days, I've said this before, where the preacher's going to get drug out of here for preaching against the homosexual crowd. That's sin. That's not an alternative lifestyle. That's sin, plain and simple. That legalizing marijuana, they might as well make it legal. There's so many people have it, right? It's still wrong. God's law is not man's law. And as we look at these chapters, this Haman decides he's going to make this rule. And he says, he makes a statement, their laws are diverse from all people. They're nuts, those Christians. They just hate us because we love. It's not love, it's lust and it's sin. Neither keep they the king's laws. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and stand against the law. What I'm telling you to do is make sure you stand for God's law. Make sure you stand for God's law. God doesn't have a law against speeding. He has a law against breaking the law of speeding. And I do it. But I'm not, I should not. Amen? This is it right here. Therefore, and this is being held today, therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. I want you to read that statement one more time. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. Let me ask you a question. Does it do anybody in politics any good to push forward God's agenda? It is not in the king's profit to suffer them. It's not in the king's profit to allow this man to preach. By the way, when was Judah or Israel at its... By the way, they were never very good. But when were they at their best? When they had a good king led by a good preacher. That's the truth. When they had a good king led by a good preacher, this country could do a whole lot worse than letting the independent fundamental Baptist preachers help guide the country. But it does not profit the king to suffer them. Haman made a statement, it's true today. Why is our agenda not our agenda, God's agenda? Why is God's agenda not pushing forward? Two reasons. One, we're not doing it. But number two, it does not profit the king. It profits the king to have abortions. It profits the king to have marijuana. Yeah. It profits the king to have queer marriage. Yep. The statement was made, I'm all done. I'm all done right here. And this may not have made you happy today, but I don't care. Do you know the reason that these states on the Eastern Seaboard have decided to make gay marriage legal? The number one statement that I heard. Do you know how much money we're missing out on? If it did not profit the king, it would not profit to suffer. Don't have the Christian. It does not profit the king to suffer the Christian. Don't worry, Christian. God's law is above man's law. God's law is above man's law. Evil or ascended, don't worry. God's law is still above man's law. We'll see how God works this out later on. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for your teaching and your word of God. Lord, even the things that you show us in the Old Testament are so relevant to today. Everything you've showed us throughout the scriptures, Lord, is so good. It's so rich, Lord. You're so good to us. We're just a sinful people, God, but you love us so much that you gave us all these truths, Lord. Let us put them in our heart, Lord. Let us care about your truths. Let us make them part of our lives, Lord, that it matters to us. It matters to us that God's law is so important. It matters to us, Lord, that we try to make people know that we're godly and make people know that we're Christian, God. That we will not bow to what the world has for us. Lord, please help us to do that today. And Lord, be with the preacher. Oh, God, anoint him. Let him speak with wisdom from you. And Lord God, let us have a great morning this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.